Tonight, a massive school scare shutdown in Los Angeles. Threats to New York and L.A. triggered the sudden closure of hundreds of Southern California schools, now being called a hoax. Did L.A. officials overreact? Is this the new normal after San Bernardino? Fight night in Vegas, Trump versus Cruz, Cruz versus Rubio, and fireworks on the Strip as national security takes center stage. Targeting brain cancer, a new device that's prolonging lives. Doctors calling it the most promising treatment for brain tumors in years. Weather, whiplash, record snow in the West, record heat in the East, businesses hit hard. And a major lawsuit over a hugely popular line of hair care products endorsed by celebrities. Now hundreds of women say it severely damaged their hair. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. I'm Kate Snow in for Lester tonight. It's being called unprecedented, the massive sudden shutdown of the second largest school district in the nation because of a credible, serious threat of a large-scale attack, or so it was first described. Over 900 schools closed, searched room by room, hundreds of thousands of students affected, a chaotic day in Los Angeles. But then we came to learn New York City received a similar threat, both now being called hoaxes. And New York's police commissioner says L.A. overreacted. But with the attacks in San Bernardino still fresh in their minds, imagine being the official who has to make that call. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has late details.
Shortly before 7 a.m., police were mobilized and the decision was made public. The nation's second largest school district saying it received a credible threat, abruptly shutting down all campuses just before the morning bell.
They said that it wasn't no school due to a bomb threat, so it's very scary.
The unprecedented decision is what many woke up to.
Breaking news of the massive district-wide shutdown of LAUSD schools.
The threat came by email. A person claiming to be a high school senior, ready with an army to attack schools with guns and bombs. Los Angeles is just 65 miles from San Bernardino, where 14 were killed in a terror attack less than 2 weeks ago.
I think the circumstances in a neighboring San Bernardino, I think what has happened in the nation, I think what happened internationally, I, as superintendent, am not going to take the chance with the life of a student.
The police chief said the threat was specific to all Los Angeles schools.
The implied threat was explosive devices. The specific threat was attack with assault rifles and machine pistols.
While the chief stood by the superintendent, privately, Los Angeles area law enforcement officials say they advised against closing schools, saying the decision was premature and a bad move. The coordinated sweep of LA schools for bombs, a massive undertaking. LAUSD spans 710 square miles with more than 1,000 campuses and 700,000 students, many about to take final exams.
I guess we have to live through this and live this way, you know, trying to see if terrorists are going to come and get us.
With school buses suddenly turned around, many had nowhere to go. Staff and parents complained notification came too late. Tonight, Anthony Carson has to explain to his four-year-old son, AJ, why fear has gripped the region and now his school.
He doesn't know, like, what's going on in the world, like, with what happened, like, you know, in Paris and San Bernardino. He just, you know, he's just happy all the time.
Just minutes ago, law enforcement officials gave the all clear at LAUSD, saying there were no threats at any of the campuses. Meantime, a 17-year-old student was killed crossing the street just after the school closures were announced. Kate?
Miguel, thanks so much. And it appears a new normal is emerging after the attack in San Bernardino, as a majority of Americans now say terrorism is their number one concern. And with that as the backdrop, we saw a tale of two cities today and the very different ways that New York and Los Angeles reacted when the threats came in. Here's our Justice correspondent Pete Williams on how it all went down.
Children in the nation's largest public school system in New York City headed to class today, even though police said a nearly identical threat was emailed to schools there. New York's police commissioner, who once held that same job in Los Angeles, said L.A. overreacted.
It is not something that we are concerned with. What we would be concerned with is overreacting to it. We will stay aware. We will stay involved. But we, at all costs, cannot start overreacting.
Several law enforcement officials say the writer of both emails claimed to be a high school senior who was bullied and claimed to have an army of supporters who planted pressure cooker bombs and had assault rifles and pistols. The writer claimed to be a radical Muslim but made mistakes in referring to Islam, a phony threat, New York authorities say they concluded, because the same person could not be a student in two places at once. Local and federal law enforcement officials say the L.A. schools chief made the decision and then consulted the police, who officials say recommended against closing the schools, but there was a unanimous view about how serious the decision was.
These are very high stakes. You know, we're not making a decision about the color of a car or what we're going to eat for dinner here. This is the safety of our children. There is no more important decision.
How to respond in an era of terrorism and when schools have been the scenes of mass shootings has become a huge challenge.
Schools are experiencing threats from locally, from students and non-students, as well as swatting threats that occur from across state lines and even international borders, and it sends shockwaves of anxiety throughout school communities.
Another factor, the trauma of the recent mass shooting in San Bernardino, and word that investigators say Syed Farouk might have been considering attacks on schools. Tonight, police and the FBI are working to figure out who sent the threats. They've been traced to an email service provider in the U.S. that's been popular with online pranksters. Kate?
Pete Williams in Washington tonight. Pete, thank you. It's fitting that national security takes center stage as the candidates face off tonight in the final GOP debate of the year. NBC's Peter Alexander reports a highly anticipated showdown is expected on the Vegas Strip.
The Republican candidates arrived tonight bracing for a freewheeling and fiery slugfest in the final debate of the year.
So Donald, you know, is great at the one-liners, but he's a chaos candidate, and he'd be a chaos president. He would not be the commander-in-chief we need to keep our country safe.
Jeb doesn't really believe I'm unhinged. He said that very simply because he has failed in this campaign. It's been a total disaster.
A heated campaign season boiling over as the Trump show rolled into Vegas overnight.
We should have been doing that for the last 7 years. I give him credit.
Trump's contentious rally repeatedly interrupted by protesters, several forcibly removed and heckled by audience members, one even yelling a Nazi salute. In the 5 weeks since these candidates last shared the stage, the world has changed. Paris and San Bernardino fueling new concerns about terrorism and national security, igniting debates over Syrian refugees and Trump's proposed temporary ban on Muslims entering the U.S. All of it reshaping the race, with the contenders competing to show who's the toughest.
We will carpet bomb them into oblivion.
It's not just foreigners coming into the U.S., it's homegrown violent extremists.
That threat now pits Marco Rubio against Ted Cruz and has exposed Ben Carson's lack of foreign policy experience, despite this statement posted to Facebook today.
I sure hope we're going to get a lot of questions about foreign affairs and national defense. If so, slam dunk.
How are you doing?
Once the establishment favorite, Jeb Bush, may be setting records for futility, his campaign and super PAC spending more than $35 million in TV ads, but he's still posting only single-digit support.
And just now, Donald Trump said he would support closing parts of what he described as our internet to combat ISIS. The impression these candidates make tonight may stick for a while through the holidays. The next Republican debate is in mid-January, just 2 weeks before the Iowa caucuses. Kate?
All right, Peter Alexander out in Vegas. As the Republicans duke it out, Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton detailed her own plans for the White House late today, specifically her strategy for taking on ISIS. As NBC Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Andrea Mitchell reports, Clinton saved some of her toughest talk for the Republicans taking aim at her tonight.
With fear of another San Bernardino or Paris-style attack in the U.S., now a top worry for Americans, Hillary Clinton took on Donald Trump and the Republicans for their rhetoric, accusing them of becoming a tool for ISIS recruitment.
Promising to carpet bomb until the desert glows doesn't make you sound strong. It makes you sound like you're in over your head.
Her plan to stop ISIS, foil plots, enlist Silicon Valley to attack ISIS online recruitment. tighten screening at the borders, empower Muslim American communities on the front lines. But while Clinton likes to portray herself as a national security grown-up, in contrast to this year's crop of Republicans,
bluster and bigotry are not credentials for becoming commander-in-chief.
Critics say she, too, is vulnerable for policies in Iraq, Syria, and Libya that helped spawn ISIS, and for failing to counter radical Islamic online propaganda. Plus, Russia's 11-week air campaign in Syria has complicated the U.S. war plan. Defense Secretary Ash Carter, visiting U.S. pilots in Turkey today, accused Russia of bombing the anti-Assad rebels, not ISIS.
There are those who are not yet working in the right direction, and obviously that includes Russia.
While John Kerry in Moscow tried to persuade Vladimir Putin that ISIS, which brought down one of Putin's passenger planes, is now a threat to all of the civilized world.
And in a clear shot at President Obama, Hillary Clinton also said it's not enough to contain ISIS, as Obama once said. She said ISIS has to be defeated.
All right. Andrea Mitchell in Washington. High drama in Baltimore today. Jurors in the trial of the first of the Baltimore police officers charged in the death of Freddie Gray told the judge they were deadlocked and could not reach a verdict. But the judge sent them back to deliberate further. Gray's neck was broken after he was arrested and put in the back of a police van earlier this year. His death, of course, triggering days of protests and civil unrest. Officer William Porter is charged with manslaughter, among other crimes. He faces up to 25 years in prison if convicted. Another day of weather extremes across the nation. Records are being shattered, but in very different ways on opposite sides of the country. Record-breaking snow in the west and record-breaking high temperatures here in the east. We get more from NBC's Dylan Dreyer.
This morning's commute in Colorado, a mess. Hundreds of flights canceled. The same storm dumped nearly a foot of snow in parts of Montana. And in Salt Lake City, more than 9 inches fell, more than all of last winter. In the east, the other extreme. Today, Boston warmer than Las Vegas, and New York milder than Phoenix.
Here in Central Park, we reached a record high of 68 degrees at 1 o'clock in the morning. And it's not just New York City breaking records in the middle of the night. Philadelphia hit 69 degrees, Wilmington, Delaware, 68, and Providence, Rhode Island reached 64 by 4 a.m.
The weather extremes, all thanks to a strong El Nino.
Although the seasonal forecast called for warmer than normal conditions through the winter for the northern U.S., that doesn't mean on any given day we couldn't have a cold outbreak and a winter storm.
In Vermont, just 11 of the state's 50 ski resorts are open, a serious economic blow.
Christmas is really an important holiday for us, and it's not looking so good.
But for shoppers, warm temperatures are bringing the savings. At Walmart, coats on sale for 80% off. A change in the jet stream will bring cooler temperatures to the Northeast this weekend, but by next week, the warmth will be back. Just in time for the first official day of winter. Dylan Dreyer, NBC News, New York.
Still ahead tonight, high-tech hope for those diagnosed with brain cancer. The experimental device showing great promise that could give these patients something they want so badly, more time. Also, celebrities swear by it on TV, but now hundreds say a popular hair care line has some terrible side effects. We're back with a promising advance in the battle against cancer, a device that uses electric waves to target the most aggressive type of brain cancer. Tonight, we meet a woman who hopes it can buy her more time with the people she loves. NBC's Janet Shamlian has the first part of our special series of reports, Target Cancer, Chasing a Cure.
Amy Herbst, a busy mom of two, has gotten used to her new headgear, which she sometimes covers with a hat or wig.
All right, bye. See you, buddy.
Diagnosed with glioblastoma, she's trying an experimental treatment that a study out today finds is extending the lives of patients who have the deadliest and most aggressive form of brain cancer. The device works by sending electric waves to the brain, preventing cancer cells from multiplying. It's worn almost around the clock and used along with surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. It can't cure patients like Amy.
Have a great day, girl.
But the study shows it can add an average of 5 precious months to their lives.
This is the first clinical trial in a decade to lengthen the life of patients with glioblastoma. And so I think that this is going to be really exciting.
Glioblastoma is the most common form of brain cancer. The median survival is just 15 months. A prognosis doctors hope the device will change.
We do expect